Whether in Buffalo Gap or Buffalo Springs, Fort Belknap or Fort Chadburn, or Sweetwater or Sweet Home, for the news of Texas, the source is Pratt on Texas. Here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis, all done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, after halfway efforts in the past, Governor Greg Abbott finally went all in as a leader and dealt a huge blow to the Texas House Rhino aristocracy. 8, maybe 9, it looks like, outright victories over incumbents, with 4 big incumbents headed to runoff elections. Tuesday, 28 May, is the primary runoff date. That's right, you've got the local Saturday municipal elections before that coming up. The Lone Star story of the day is all about the election, my friends, and it's sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Look out for your people and your bottom line by creating a more reliable and safer workplace with a drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. The drinker of the house, Dade Phelan, was the number 2 vote getter in the race for his house seat. He's headed to a runoff. There are other surprises, but the best one is that Christy Craddock, in a big race for railroad commissioner, I mean, a lot of candidates got their names on the ballot. She got over, if it all holds up, Christy Craddock got over 50%. Woohoo! Why is it so important? Well, it means no statewide GOP runoff election. But there will be some local and regional humdingers, my friends, upcoming on the 28th of May. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at prattontexas.com. Today in Texas history, the Alamo falls to the Mexican Army. It was March 6, 1836, the fortified compound of San Antonio de Valero Mission, under siege for 13 days by the Mexican army under Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna, the traitor to the cause, the switcher. Once he got in office and became a centralista and installed himself as maximum leader, he had the army there, and it was this day in 1836, March 6, that he began an early morning assault on Alamo. After a fierce battle lasting for perhaps an hour and a half, the defenses of the Alamo were overrun and all the defenders killed. The chapel fell last. Of course, the slogan, "Remember the Alamo," and also "Remember Goliad" from the massacre at Goliad, became the rallying cries for the Texas Revolution, and the Alamo became a shrine to fallen Texas heroes, which to this day the left is trying to undermine and change. We tell the full story in song in the last segment of today's show. Now, for those listening to radio or affiliate live streams, you get to hear the great stuff for it. Sadly, podcast listeners, you can't hear it because licensing rules mean I can't provide the music on a podcast. So I'm sorry for that. But if you want to catch it, maybe you hear this late this evening and you want to catch it on air, you can listen to the stream of the Pratt on Texas reprise. Runs from 6 to 7 a.m. on our affiliate in Lubbock, KWBF, Walk by Faith Radio. So all you got to do is go to the go to my site and click on affiliates there, and you can get the link there for their stream. It's I think it's 987radio.com as well. Anyway, so you can hear all the just fabulous music. Two great pieces, the last segment today, all focused on this day in Texas history. It's an incredible, very important day for all who value liberty and the sacrifices people make for it. The Alamo falls to the Mexican Army. This date in 1836, our look at Texas history sponsored by Lubbock's local title company with over 220 years of combined experience. If you need a title and escrow company, use Hub City Title. HubCityTitle.com. They have in-house title examiners. That's our look at today in Texas history. We need to dive right into all the election wrap-up, my friends. There is so much to cover from across the Lone Star State. The biggest takeaway from the election was after several cycles of Governor Abbott talking big but not carrying a big stick and really almost making a fool, well, we will say making a fool of himself in a few cases, coming in after an incumbent or two who wouldn't support the conservative agenda and then not doing much about it and then really taking it on the chin, rightfully so, in the press for not having much weight in these primaries. This time the governor got involved and campaigned hard and put money, and he's got plenty of it, put plenty of money into these races. I know we didn't win them all. I know Liz Case and Abilene didn't pull it off. And once again, Northwest Texas, that everybody in the state thinks is the most conservative part of the state, continues not to be. We continue to elect and reelect some of the worst Rhino state reps. I mean, Drew Darby in San Angelo survived against Stormy Bradley, despite the governor and Trump and everybody else's help as well. Just couldn't get it done here, but all over the state it did get done. And let me tell you, it was a political show of force, as the writers at the Chronicle put it. After, the governor, 21 Republicans joined Democrats to block the school choice. And as of today, eight, looks like nine, one's real close, but it's the good one, the conservative, that looks like it's going to win. It looks like nine of those 21 seats are set to be replaced, those incumbents replaced by education choice members. Four more are headed to runoffs, and that includes the Speaker of the House, just to keep his seat, and he was not the top vote getter in that race. He was almost, he was bested there by his opponent. Abbott spent $6 million in these races, 15 races. He made lots of campaign stops, got out there and really did the work, and he's to be congratulated for it. And I think what he said's right. Texans are one step closer to empowering every Texas family. Republican primary voters have once again sent an unmistakable message that parents deserve the freedom to choose the best education pathway for their child. And that's right. Now, in the Democrats' race, they had the big one for Senate nominee, as expected. Colin Allred won that. He's tried to tighten up his voting the last year, but frankly, he's just a far-left liberal. And I think it's going to be a big race. He's going to get tons of money from everywhere running against Ted Cruz because they hate Ted Cruz all over the country. All the liberals do, and frankly, the rhinos do too. The rhinos, I don't care what they tell you. I know I've had them lie to me to my face, some I've known personally. They hate movement conservatives. And it's really odd. It's just odd. And I think part of that is that my experience with a lot of these people is they tend to be patrician, sort of that wannabe aristocracy, sort of the old blue bloods. And they kind of think their social class has a right to rule type thing. And they just don't like people from outside that or people from inside that who put, ideas, the things like the founders did, ideology and things ahead of the clubby nature of wielding power. And I don't mean as in a club that you wield to knock somebody down. I mean the clubby as in you're all members of the club and it's exclusive and you pat each other on the back and you just have the fights for public consumption, but everybody knows you really don't mean it. The drinker of the house is race. He trailed his, it's a three-way race. Nobody got over 50%, so drinker of the house, Dade Phelan's going to a runoff. David Covey, who's an oil and gas industry consultant and really good conservative, it appears, led him in the race. It's going to be interesting. Most of the insiders think Phelan's reign as speaker is over because of this, because even if he gets reelected, if he becomes speaker again, it's all going to be retribution against the governor and the lieutenant governor. That's not good for any of the members.
Don't like the breaks? Some say the breaks are better than Pratt. But then again, those folks don't listen.
My first visit to our official dentist, Dr. Silvia Zuniga in Costa Rica, was for a last-minute dental emergency for which my best quote was more than double what our entire trip cost, including airfare, hotels, dining, everything. I had the same emergency items done and ended up having my old metal fillings replaced too. Isabel did the same. All of it cost us less than half of local quotes for just the crowns I had needed. Learn more about dental care. Click the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even turn into a fun vacation.
Why does keeping up with the news have to be so hard? It's like sorting through a mountain of garbage. We're here to change all that. 21st Century Watch Magazine. It's quarterly, conservative, and completely free. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com. We'll never sell your information. Cancel anytime. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com for your free subscription.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Here's a man who is proud of Texas and Texans. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We've got much to review. Remember, this is the day the Alamo fell in 1836, the year of our independence. The last segment today on radio and radio stream dedicated to that. Can't play the music in the podcast, so you just lose segment four today. All right, my friends, let's take a look at some things around the state. I've got to talk about these district attorneys. That can wait till tomorrow if we need to, so let me put that aside. Oh, congrats to Hillary Hicklin. Hillary's one of our listeners out there, and she, in Central Texas, she beat one of these longtime incumbents. She beat Representative Hugh Shine and beat him handily, 53% to 40% or so of the vote in the Belton area, and congratulations to Hillary. When she, you remember, I announced her race way back when she decided to run. She contacted me, and I'm just proud of her. So many were able to pull it off. Big wins for pro education choice, and really to unseat a bunch of rhino aristocrats. In other words, the House aristocracy types last night. The Attorney General's picks for criminal court unseated all the incumbents. Now, there are people, a lot of people who completely misunderstand my voter recommendations and things, because I know other people in this business. I mean, it's every one of these is super personal to them and blah. I'm happy with this. I recommended you keep two of the incumbents in this list of three. I am so glad when I was able to fully recommend that Gina Parker, an old friend that Gina beat, somebody I've endorsed before, and I like Judge Barbara Hervey in place seven, but Barbara's been on the court plenty long. But two of these people were going to have to retire anyway, midterm. Now we've elected people that'll be in there for full terms, and they have a power base. And the problem is both of them have some real problems. One of these guys is suing the mortgage company so he doesn't have to pay for his wife's mortgage, just claiming they had some kind of document error, not disputing the amount owed. I find that to this Lee Finley, an attorney, I find this tremendously a sign of a tremendous failing in personal integrity. And then one of the other guys is Paxton. The conservatives rallied around him. They didn't look that his background is an acolyte for the rhino types that want to take away our right to elect judges little by little, put all kinds of restrictions on donations and all kinds of stuff, and I don't like that. But overall, I'm happy with it. The three needed to be punished for voting to say that the attorney general can't prosecute election fraud. I mean, it was very dangerous. It's very costly to the state, and they've paid a price for it now. So good. Suits me. I just think that the smarter move would have been to keep two of those incumbents, so they're going to have to leave midterm. The governor will put somebody in there, and then we can have better candidates. But there you go. In Lubbock County, where I live, my friend Mary Hernandez worked very hard but did not win the Republican nomination for Lubbock County Commissioner Precinct 3 to take on the longtime Democrat. But the man who won, Kerry Shaw, is a fantastic man. I've endorsed him in the past. He just didn't, their campaign just to me did not show that they really understood how to do it for November last time. I don't want to lose the Democrat again. And I think Mary Hernandez actually has some skills that nobody understands. And they're the things that you can't go campaigning on. But this is a trite phrase, but knowing where the bodies are buried, that kind of thing. It's just sort of that kind of phrase about law enforcement and all the wasted money going on at the sheriff's office. I would have rather seen Mary win because I think she could win in November and really bring something to the commissioner's court that others won't. And plus, I know she's an absolute fiscal conservative. However, Kerry Shaw is a fine man. He's won, and congratulations, and Republicans need to get behind him and finally knock the Democrats out of Precinct 3, because we've already, by just luck, picked up the constable position, and we picked up last race the Justice of the Peace position in that one Democrat precinct in Lubbock County, and now we have a chance to take the commissioner's seat, and that's important. Another big race in Lubbock County was Precinct 1 commissioner race. And there were people who know that I've been very critical of the commissioner's court for a while, and they were surprised that I recommended voting for Terrence Kovar, the incumbent. And Terrence got whipped. And it does not surprise me at all, because Dalby started very early, Mike Dalby, and has worked a ground game like no other. So, Robert, why then did you go with him? And I'll tell you. Because Mike Dalby, seems like a super nice guy. He's a great talker. I'm a good talker. You know, but he's a great talker. But I've heard him in, I think, 7 interviews. Not one time, and I pressed him in my interview with him, not one time. He's been campaigning for over a year. He couldn't tell me how he would be more conservative than the other guy. And there's people that fell for the good talking. Oh, I've got a plan. Well, the plan can be to spend more money, which is what they've been doing. It really makes me wonder when a guy can't tell you the major votes he would have differed with the incumbent with. And he never could. He didn't in any of the interviews I heard. And when I pressed him on it, he couldn't do it. So my take was, all right, then he's just another guy that wants the job and he can talk well. And that's even worse because he talks well and you fool a lot of people. That's what we have with the county judge in Lubbock County. But look, I'm not happy with Terrence Kovar. He voted right on some things. He got trounced. And that doesn't surprise me. Dalby had a big ground game. I got these friends, well, you picked the loser. They don't get it. They just can't get it because they're always angling for something. To be somebody's buddy or to be on the winning side, I don't do it that way. I had a very good belief that Mike Dalby was going to win this big. The problem is, I don't trust a guy that campaigns that hard but can't tell you one serious thing he would have done differently than the incumbent. Come on. I think he'll be okay. He won't be any worse than Terrence Kovar's been. Taylor County Sheriff Ricky Bishop, our friend, cruised to re-election with 77% of the vote. Ector County's big Republican chairman race, Donna Kelm won it and won it handily. Good. Midland County Sheriff David Kreiner in a big election, but won re-election. And in Midland, Glenn Harwood defeated Kyle McCardle in the race for DA. You've heard me talk about the current DA, the woman there who's gone after all kinds of people. How she ever got elected in Midland, I don't know. She's awful. All this wrongful targeting over and over of the Christian schools. People went after oil man David Wilson and all kinds of people. She's gone. She didn't run for re-election. So there you have it. Let's talk about some other DAs since I brought that up. Oh, by the way, the sheriff in Greg Capers in San Jacinto County, Cold Spring, north of Houston, he was seeking a fourth term. He lost. He's the guy where they had that shooting, that Francisco Oropeza, the illegal alien, killed the neighbors and stuff after they asked him to stop shooting his gun near their house. And he had a lot of controversy. He got turned out by the voters. Incumbent George Soros acolyte funded Jose Garza won the Democratic primary for re-election bid to this Travis County DA. That's Austin. It's important. He won big. And he said it. We scored a major victory for our progressive movement and for criminal justice reform in this country. This guy is a revolutionary He is a revolutionary. These are the people that believe not locking up criminals, don't arrest people, this is awful. And in Harris County, Kim Ogg, who's a big liberal, the district attorney, she got trounced. Kim Ogg is still a tough on crime DA, and the leftists in the Democratic Party in Harris County, the state's largest, so it affects us every way. This tier guy won by 75 to 25%. Now, the Houston Chronicles has been on a complete, total, destructive course to destroy Kim Ogg, and it worked. And this guy's another huge Soros guy, and he says, we've got to have an empathetic justice system that's truly equal, blah, blah, blah. He's a George Soros leftist that's working as hard as he can as a revolutionary to turn us into what we see in San Francisco and other parts of California and New York.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
At Thacker Jewelry, we believe in hometown service. When you walk through our doors, we want you to feel welcome and at home. An incredible story lives inside each and every piece of jewelry at Thacker's. As a West Texas jeweler, we want to help you express your love and your feeling for your family, for your loved ones, and for the generations to come.
Hello, what do you say? It's a Thacker Jewelry kind of day.
Arriving to visit our official dentist, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga, you'll be met at the Modern Airport like a celebrity and whisked away to the upscale mountainside suburb of Escazú overlooking the capital of Costa Rica. Enjoy relaxing resort-style lodging and great dining. Dr. Zuniga will be your concierge throughout your stay as if you were a member of her family. You never have to be on your own. For many, the whole trip for two is less money than what they'd just pay a dentist at home. Learn more. Click the Dental Care banner at prattontexas.com.
You gotta stop by before they multiply. Gafford Pest Control.
Protect your family from bees, carpenter ants, termites, and bed bugs with effective professional service from Gafford Pest Control. Keep your family safe and clean with Gafford. Call Gafford Pest Control, 792-4292.
Gafford Pest Control.
Welcome to the show, where Juan Seguin, Sam Houston, and the Alamo are revered equally as Washington, Jefferson, and Concord. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me just review some key races around the state with you. Of course, President Trump carried Texas massively, and Nikki Haley's now suspending her campaign, which should have already been done, but people were paying for her to stay in, so she didn't. We had some big races. There's an open seat in Congress, Texas 12. It's going to be a runoff, but Craig Goldman, former state rep, I believe there, is was 44 and a third percent being there against John O'Shea. The big congressional race for Texas 23, the big border district, San Antonio, all up and down the Rio Grande, that Tony Gonzalez, who's a little bit of a wimpy Republican, not that conservative, he's the incumbent. He held the seat from flipping back Democrat last time, but he finds himself in a runoff. He is going to be in a runoff with Mr. AR, Brandon Herrera. Tony Gonzalez only pulling 45%. And there were several people in that race, but Brandon Herrera getting 25% in that race. The big, big race when Texas Congress race, Texas District 26, Texas 26, Dick Armey used to hold it, and Dick Armey's son was running in it. I mean, what were there, 8 or 9 candidates in this race? But there's no runoff. And I'm so proud because a lot of people asked me about that race, and Brandon Gill was the guy to go for him. He's the Abilene area guy. Conservative, 58% in what I think was a 9 or 10 or maybe more person race. Brandon Gill getting that. No runoff there for that seat, Texas 26. Railroad Commissioner, as I pointed out earlier, the best thing is that Christy Craddock pulled over 50%. There were 5 people in the race. The guy whose name sounds like a TV character pulled, people just go by name ID. Jim Matlock. So that Matlock on TV, that sounded good. So he got a 26.5%. Christy Craddock's over 50%. Let's hope that holds up. It should, based on the raw vote numbers. That means no statewide Republican Party runoff. There'll be some local ones and regional, but not in every county, and every county chairman have to do it. John Devine so far is holding up. It looks like John Devine's held his seat on the Texas Supreme Court against Brian Walker. There are a bunch of people saying vote for Walker. I disagree with them. John Devine is the real deal, conservative, Christian conservative. And this has been a complete effort from the Houston Chronicle, the Hearst Papers, and a few other leftist outlets to try to destroy the man because of his Christian, openly, because of his Christian values. You read the stories I have. Looks like he's survived. It's just over 50% of the vote. Already covered the three criminal court of appeals races where all the incumbents lost. Again, I'm not upset with that at all. We had a big state board of education race in 11 that Pat Hardy's been there a long time as an incumbent Republican, but Pat Hardy was beaten handily by Brandon Hall, who is a conservative, and one of the people, one of these school districts, was caught electioneering against. As pleased as I can be for the state Senate District 30 race, Drew Springer's seat, you had four in that race. Brent Hagenboo, the former disastrous Denton County GOP chairman, who's just nothing but an inside wannabe, inside aristocracy guy. He's got the governor and the lieutenant governor and everybody behind him. He did not pull it off. He's only got 36 1/3%. Kerry DeMoore was third in that race with 17.5%. And Jay Yarborough, a fabulous Christian conservative young man, 34%. This is going to be a huge runoff there, and everybody needs to unite behind Jay Yarborough for Senate District 30. But so glad that Hagenboo did not perform any better than he did. This really should give the odds to Jay Yarborough to win. Of course, again, it's going to be on 28 May. Going to be very low turnout. State rep, some of these big state rep seats that mattered and where you had incumbents. Gary Vandiver finds himself in a runoff. Chris Spencer got 43%. Vandiver only got 45.5%. This is one of these successes at knocking off these or knocking on these Austin aristocracy guys. State Rep District 2, HD2. This is the special election we just had where the insiders girl won the special election, Jill Dutton. Well, she got trounced now for the, so she's state rep right now to the end of the year, but she got trounced. Brent Money, the conservative, ends up with almost 57% of the vote in HD2, and that is great news. Trav Clardy, the Lubbock native who has been turned out from the moment he got elected in Nacogdoches in East Texas, has been a rhino's rhino, gets trounced 2-1, 63% to 37% by Joanne Schaffner. So Clardy is out, and that is great news for all Texans. House District 12, that's an open seat. That was the one where another super rhino from the day he ran down in College Station area, Casal, got elected. And he's horrible. He knew the writing was on the wall. He bowed out. This race is split in thirds. Ben Bias, John Harvey Slocum, and Trey Wharton. They're going to have a runoff, and it looks like the runoff is going to be between Ben Bias and Trey Wharton, but the votes are so close that you can't tell that yet. House District 17, Stan Gertis, incumbent, was able to hold on and beat conservative Tom Glass. That's a shame. Ernest Bales, the incumbent in HD 18, got waxed by Janice Holt. Way to go, Janice Holt. 53% to 38%, knocking off a big-time incumbent there. State Rep 19, HD 19, that is Ellen Troxclair, the first-term incumbent down in Austin. She's held on to that. Kyle Biederman posed that was the opponent last time and came back again, but Ellen Troxclair held it for 52%. HD 21, that is Dade Phelan, and he only pulled 43.24% of the vote. David Covey has 46.31%, and Alicia Davis had 10.45%. That's a runoff. HD 26, J.C. Jetton, another incumbent, trounced by Matt Morgan. The three-way race, and yet Matt Morgan gets 53.8%. J.C. Jetton only pulls 38.65%. Another incumbent falls there. Way to go. HD 33, incumbent Justin Holland finds, he's awful, awful, awful. He's abandoned us on almost everything. He's horrible. Justin Holland will be in a runoff with Katrina Pearson. You remember her from the Trump campaign. She got 39.5%. He got 38%, almost 39%. HD 44, John Kempel, another big-time Austin aristocrat, you know, in the Republican Party, Rhino. John Kempel only got 45%. Alan Schoolcraft, it was a four-man race. Alan Schoolcraft had 48%, so another one in a runoff. Hillary Hickland, I already told you, in HD 55, beat old state rep Hugh Shine in the Belton area, 53% to 39.5%. There were two other people in that race. HD 58, ladies and gentlemen. Another incumbent, Dwayne Burns, finds himself in a runoff with Helen Kerwin, HD 60. That's Glenn Rogers. Glenn Rogers got trounced, a two-man race. Mike Alcott whipped him, 63% to 36.5%. Couldn't have been better. Glenn Rogers was a fake Republican from the beginning, from the moment he announced, I told you he was. Mike Alcott should have won last time. He's won this time. State Rep HD 61, Frederick Frazier. Another incumbent, only pulled 32% in a three-way race. Going to be in a runoff with Carissa Richardson. HD 62, Shelley Luther makes it in. Beats an incumbent, Reggie Smith, makes it in. 53% there. Also, HD 64, Lynn Stuckey. Another incumbent was the second vote-getter, being a runoff against Andy Hopper. It looks like in HD 65, incumbent Kronda Timmish has been beaten by Mitch Little. Already mentioned in 71 and 72, Liz Case lost to Stan Lambert and Drew Darby beat Stormy Bradley. In the Amarillo area, John Smith, he gets re-election. And in 87, the conservative Caroline Fairley wins it outright. Incumbent Stephanie Click in HD 91 finds herself in a runoff. In HD 121 in San Antonio, incumbent Rhino Steve Allison whipped by Mark LaHood. More throughout the week. We remember the fall of the Alamo next.
It's all about Texas with Pratt on Texas.
When you need new tires or any full vehicle maintenance, there is no better choice than Williams Brake Tuning Tire, downtown Lubbock at 19th and Avenue A. Larry Williams at Williams Brake Tuning Tire has served happy customers in Lubbock for over four decades and has taken care of Isabel and my vehicle needs for over half of that time, so I know. New tires, inspections, and any level of vehicle service. Williams Brake Tuning Tire, downtown Lubbock at 19th and Avenue A. Learn more at WilliamsBrakeTuningTire.net.
Hey, now, I'm Robert Campbell with Campbell Containers. Have you ever thought about incorporating a shipping container into a new barn or shop like the one we have here at Campbell Containers? Or maybe you just need some extra storage space at your home, farm, or deer lease. Stop by Campbell Containers and look at our inventory. We're on I-20 between Abilene and Clyde at the exit 297, or give me a call, 325-518-3309, or check us out at CampbellContainers.com.
I want to thank Hub City Title for sponsoring our look at Today in Texas History most show days. Hub City Title is Lubbock's local title company with over 220 years of combined experience, reliable and responsive with fast turnaround from Hub City Title's in-house title examiners. HubCityTitle.com, Lubbock's premier title and escrow company. If you're in Lubbock and you need a title or escrow company, Hub City Title are the people to deal with. And just in case you didn't hear me earlier, due to licensing rules, I cannot bring you the great celebration of the Alamo and music on the podcast, my friends. Long live Liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.